Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levin, here with you for an hour of comedy. Later on, we hear the Red Skelton Show from 1951, but right now, a big night for Jimmy Durante returning to his own program after about a month-long illness. From January 28, 1948 on NBC.
Good health to all from Rexall.
From Hollywood, it's the Jimmy Durante Show. Yes, 10,000 Rexall drugstores who carry the complete line of top quality Rexall drug products bring you the Jimmy Durante Show with Peggy Lee, Candy Candido, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, yours truly, Howard Petrie, and our special guest again, the lovable Victor Moore. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the man who made medical history by using up 7 gallons of ether just to put his nose to sleep. The one and only Jimmy Durante is present. Welcome home, stud.
Even when things go wrong.
Boy, are we glad you're back.
You feel better. You even look better.
Jimmy, the whole bunch of us are happy that you're well enough to be back on the radio again. Why, for 4 weeks, we couldn't eat.
Yeah, we couldn't sleep.
Yeah, and we couldn't drink.
Who are these people, Jimmy? Fans of yours?
No, relatives. You know, one of them was caught looking through the help wanted column, and he was exiled from the family. You know, folks, I'm grateful. I want to thank you. I want to thank you one and all for this wonderful reception. You know, it's good to be back on the air again talking to my many friends. And if you folks in the audience will all come backstage after the program and form a single line, I'll show you my operation. It's hem-stitched.
Oh, well, Jimmy, we're certainly glad you're well again. You know, Jim, there's been a lot of illness around.
Yes, everybody has got the voices.
Yeah.
The voices X. Even my doctor, Dr. Balan, had it.
Yeah.
He had a call on another doctor, and there's one thing that puzzles me.
What's that, Schnoz?
When a doctor doctors a doctor, does the doctor being doctor the doctor like the doctor wants to be doctored, or does the doctor want to be doctored the way the doctor would doctor the doctor that's doctoring the doctor? How do you like that? I'm out of the hospital one day, and the writers are trying to send me back.
Jimmy, tell me, how was it in the hospital? Were you comfortable?
As comfortable as one can be with a leaky hot water bottle. For 2 days, I thought I was defrosting. It wouldn't happen with a Rexall product.
No, sir.
No, not in your life. Then throughout insult to perjury... They're giving me them big words again. Then to add insult to perjury, a nurse walks in and puts a newborn baby in bed with me.
No.
I says, wait a minute, nurse, there must be some mistake. This didn't show up in the X-ray. Just then the baby started to cry and grab my nose. He thought it was an 8-ounce bottle.
Well, Jim, that's all behind you now. How did it feel getting back to your home again?
Howard, I was deeply touched and overcome with a feeling of neuralgia. After 4 weeks away from home, I opened the front door and guess what rushed out to greet me?
What?
The furniture. I left the water running in the bathtub. I found my cocker spaniel on a mantel nailing cigars together for a rat.
Well, the sponsor wants you to take it easy, so they've hired this young lady here standing beside me. She's a nurse.
A nurse?
Yes, I'm Candy.
This is Candy. It's been in the vending machine too long. I'd rather have an old Nick. Tell me, miss, what experience have you had?
Well, once a patient of mine was reading a magazine when suddenly his temperature went up.
Then it went down.
Then up.
Then down.
Then up.
Then down.
What caused that?
Not enough ice egg.
Too much Esquire.
Well, I don't know if I need a nurse, but if I do, I'll get in touch with you.
Oh, goody. You can call me at Hillside 9970. And if a man answers, don't hang up.
It's me.
You know... You know, with a couple of voices like that, that kid could go steady with himself. but I don't need a nurse, Howard.
Of course not, Wider. Andy is as good as he ever was.
And still the darling of the corset crowd. Why, you should have seen me last night at that welcome home party, attended in my honor by the social leaders of Beverly Hills. Let me tell you about it.
Tell, Jim.
I never in my lifetime was so delighted. Honest, I'm as happy as a clown. It happened at a musicale where I was invited in the swankiest home in this town. I knew the joint was swanky. There was a durley under every cuspidor. What a party. I rubbed elbows with Iturvy. I rubbed elbows with Shostakovich. I rubbed elbows with Rubinstein. I had to rub elbows with them. They wouldn't shake hands with me. After dinner, Iturvy sat down and played his latest concerto. Then Shostakovich obliged with his latest etude. And then Rubinstein thrilled the crowd with a Sinatra he composed. After the applause subsided, all eyes turned upon me. And why not? I was sleeping. Ignoring the hostile stares of the hoi-polloi, I walked to the piano, took my music out of my back pocket, which was wrapped around a salami sandwich. Then I sat down at the Steinway for the first time to present my symphony, my melody, and this is how it went. Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someday the world will recognize this lovely thing. I know the day will come when Frank and Bing will sing. Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why, when I first sat down at the piano, the people cheered. In the middle of my concert, the people howled. And when I finished playing, a little old lady jumped up on the piano and bit me. And to add to my humiliation, somebody stole my salami sandwich. Believe me, folks, history will be made when I introduce my symphony at the Hollywood Bowl. I can just hear that string section. I can just hear that brass section. I can just hear the saxophones and oboes. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Another outburst like that and your drums go back to Sears and Roebuck. Folks, visualize a symphony orchestra behind me. An audience of 90,000 in front of me. A spotlight hitting me and Durani singing. Chitty beat, chitty beat, chitty beat, chitty beat, chitty beat. Yeah! Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Suppose your girl refuses you a goodnight kiss. There's just one thing to do, you'll never miss with this. Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee. And she'll go, yeah, yeah, yeah. To hear those Rexall commercials again. You know, folks, during the 4 weeks that I was recuperating...
Hey, Jimmy.
Oops!
What's the trouble, Schnoz?
Oh, thank heavens it's you, Howard. Nowadays, when anybody sneaks up on me, I figure it's penicillin. Every 3 hours, you turn over. To be on your mind, Mr. P.
Well, Jimmy, there's an old friend of yours here who wants to see you.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie.
Eddie,
what? Eddie. Well, Jimmy, I didn't know you were going to be here tonight. I came over to take your place.
Thank you, Eddie, but I got a bone here to pick with you.
Me, Jimmy?
Yeah, on your last broadcast, there was a guy in your program that sounded just like me. And everybody, even the sponsor, thought it was Durani.
Well, that's silly, Jimmy. That wasn't you. As a matter of fact, I'm not even me. You know who I am?
Who are you?
I'm Jimmy Durante.
Eat, Tyson. I was walking down the street the other day. A guy walks up to me. He says, hey, is that your nose or are you eating a banana? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just locked the doors. One of us is an imposter. Wait a minute. This guy is trying to open up a branch office. Wait a minute. I can prove I'm Jimmy Durante. Listen to this. Everybody wants to get into the act. I love that kind of carrying, huh? I got a million of them. Well, if you're Durante, why don't you say something?
How can I? You just did my act for the next 3 years. Now, come on, make up your mind. Which one are you, Cantor or Durante?
Neither. This is your old friend, Al Jolson. And listen to this. You ain't heard nothing yet. Neither. Your old Swanee. How I love you, my dear old Swanee.
One of my relatives will come up and identify me, I'll go on with the program. But now, ladies and gentlemen, to add a little confusion to the bewilderment, as a special feature, we bring you the man who walks. You're the man who walks?
I had to, Mr. Bush.
Why, it's Victor Moore. Victor, I love you, and it's good to see you again. And you know, I want to thank you for taking my place while I was away.
Ah, tush, Jimmy. Nobody can take your place. Why, the first week that you were gone, they had Red Skelton and Gary Moore on the program. Then they had Bob Hope, then Frank Morgan, then Al Jolson.
Well, Victor, they were great, weren't they?
They couldn't have been. None of them lasted more than a week.
But what about you, Victor? You've been on for 4 weeks now.
Yeah, and that brings up an interesting point. Money.
Tut, Victor, money isn't important. Money can't buy health. Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy love.
Look, just give it to me and I'll do my own shopping. But I'm sure glad to see you looking so good, Jimmy. I heard you had a tough time of it.
Oh, it wasn't so bad, Victor. I had a beautiful nurse named Lillian. And the first night I was there, she brought in some fudge, put a piece between her lips and told me to take a bite.
What happened then?
I spoke to Lillian yesterday. Her nose is healing nicely.
Never mind, Lillian. How is the fudge?
This boy has led a sheltered life.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. You see, my family used to live next to the YWCA. And on their wash day, my father used to blindfold me.
Your father used to blindfold you?
Yeah, I was 27 before I found out that horses aren't the only ones that wear halters.
Oh, I see. I believe you, Victor.
Yeah, but I don't mind. Who cares about girls anyway?
Victor, you're not interested in the fast sex?
Nah, what fun can you have with girls that you can't have with a good set of electric trays?
That's my boy who said that. No other boy can make that statement. But let's forget about boys and get back to girls. Here comes one of my favorites now, Peggy Lee.
Hiya, fellas. Ah, Jamesy boy, it's good to see you. Welcome back.
Ah, you make it real good to be back, Peggy. I'll lift up my nose and give you a homecoming kiss.
Jimmy, that was wonderful.
That's my Columbus kiss. It takes a long time to get around the horn, but what you discover is worth it.
Ah, Peggy, you do something to me, too.
I do?
Yeah, you make me feel like giving my wolf call.
Oh! Gosh, Victor, you're really a gay dog.
Yeah, I was a gay dog. I used to be part wolf, but now I'm all setter.
He's all setter and I'm all pointer. Well, Peggy, have you got a song ready for us tonight?
I sure have, Jimmy. One especially for you and Victor, and it's called I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby.
Victor, we're lucky boys. Henry Wallace should have a third party like Peggy.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while, you're sure to find happiness. And I guess all those things you've always pined for, gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love.
Victor, while I was convalescing from my recuperation, I came to the conclusion that you and I are playing the wrong types of roles in pictures.
What do you mean, Jimmy?
Well, they always cast you as a weakling. You should be one of those snarling, growling characters like Humphrey Bogart.
I should?
Yeah. Let me hear how you'd sound if you were snarling at Lauren Bacall.
Well, I just say, pucker up, baby. I got a face full of lips waiting for you. It's no use. No matter how much I crank it, I just can't get it to turn over.
Well, why don't we branch out together, Victor? We should produce our own pictures. Then we could do one of those exciting rough-and-tumble stories about counterfeiters, like the movie T-Men.
Gee, that's right up my alley.
Yeah. Why, we'll run every counterfeiter out of the country. Why, I can just hear them running now. I said I can hear them running now. Sound man is like General Eisenhower. You have to coax him before he'll run.
The T-Men, staunch protectors of the public welfare, two-fisted he-men who perform a tireless task for Uncle Sam's Treasury Department. Listen now to the words of a rugged T-Man who has just completed the vigorous 6-month training course of muscle building.
Give me a grape and I'll crush it.
Now I know how this guy got to be a T-Man. He keeps his brain in a little bag marked Orange Pico.
But the greatest T-Man of them all is T-Man Durante, who's been in the trail of the dangerous counterfeiter known as the Schemer. When finally cornered by Durante, the dangerous schemer looks up with his little beady eyes, draws back his vicious lips, and growls,
I'm a schemer.
Wait a minute. Step aside, schemer. It's T-Man Durante. What's your record?
Well, I've been a bank robber, a purse snatcher, a pickpocket, a train robber, and I've even committed murder.
I'd better watch this guy. He could turn crooked.
Well, I admit that I'm a counterfeiter, and to prove my contempt for you, I'll show you one of my bills.
Why are you making bills with Rita Hayward in a bathing suit on them?
That way, it's a pleasure to kiss your money goodbye. I got $1 million.
I'm off the program for 4 weeks, and impersonators are running amok here. But I'll get the goods on you yet, schemer. I'm going to get evidence, and I'll guarantee to employ an ambiguous jurisprudence
with confinement from maximum incarnation, and never again.
Never again what?
Never again will I stay up all night learning a speech like that. Well, you may have won this hand, Schemer, but T-Man Durante will be back.
And Durante did come back, but first, he laid his groundwork carefully. He looked up an old crony of the Schemer's, known as Freddy the Fish, who said,
"Well, how do you do?"
You know, Freddy the Fish sounds like he's been up the river. But tell me, Freddy, you were with the Schemer when you last escaped from prison. How did you do it?
We carved a piece of soap into the shape of a revolver.
You carved a piece of soap into the shape of a revolver? How did you get rid of the evidence?
I swallowed it. Now I have only one thing to report.
What's that?
I'm forever.
Armed with this valuable information and knowing that the Schemer's weakness was women, Durante donned the disguise of a girl and went to the Schemer's apartment. The Schemer opened the door and, fooled by Durante's female attire, said,
"Well, what can I do for you, miss?"
"Relax, Bob Topping. Your Lana Turner is here."
"Look, whatever you've got, I think you delivered it to the wrong address."
"Well, I know that you're a notorious counterfeiter, and you're just the kind of a guy I want. I need lots and lots of money."
"But why do you need so much money?"
"To buy enough powder to cover this nose."
"Gee, is that a real nose?"
"Of course. Do you think I'd wear a falsie?"
"Okay, cutie, and to show you I like you, here's a bottle of my favorite perfume. It's called Open the Cage Door."
"Open the Cage Door?"
"Yeah, brings out the beast in me."
"I love that kind of carrying on."
"Wait a minute, I recognize that voice. You're not a woman at all, you're a T-Man."
"That's right, and I'm going to take you in, Schemer."
"Wait a minute, I was going to take you in. I'm a T-Man, too."
"Well, can you prove that you're a T-Man?"
"Certainly, here's a piece of lemon I always carry in my pocket. It's neater than cream."
"Oh, yeah." "Well, in that case, we'll go after the Schemer together. Let's go." "We're two tough, terrible T-Men from Hollywood, and we're tougher than any tree men.
Gee, ain't we good?
We've got a gun and it's a little unorthodox. It shoots for 2 hours, then it stops and throws rocks.
We're hard hunks of horrible he-men.
We'll have that understood. The crime in this country will have a big shake-up.
We'll scare every criminal when we take off our makeup.
We're two tough, terrible T-Men from Hollywood."
"Durante, you should have been with me on my last case. I tapped a guy who sold $1,000 bills for $150.
"He sold $1,000 bills for $150? How could he afford that?"
"He didn't advertise."
"He didn't advertise?" "We're hard punks of horrible he-men. We'll have that understood.
We always get our men, but our brain is in a whirl.
We'll always get our men.
Can't we just once get a girl?"
"We're hard hunks of terrible T-men.
Horrible he-men.
Better than tree men. We're two tough, terrible he-men. From Hollywood."
Remember, Rexall drug products are available in Rexall drug stores everywhere.
Touché, Professor Pinkney, and I'd like to add, I do my shopping at a Rexall store, buying Rexall drugs, and furthermore, Umbriago, he prefers them too. We buy Rexall, that's all. How about you? Far away, when I'm far, far away. Let me hear that high note, maestro. What a note. A note of real thanks, folks. Thanks from the bottom of my heart to all you wonderful people who wrote in and wished me well. Thanks, Victor Moore. And I also want to thank my good pals who pinched hit for me on the Rexall show while I was ill. Red Skelton, Gary Moore, Bob Hope, Frank Morgan and Al Jolson. Thanks, fellas. And thanks to my many other friends in show business who volunteered to fill in for me. Believe me, you made me feel proud to be a member of this profession.
Ladies and gentlemen, the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis has spent $13 million in an effort to find a preventative and cure for polio. And until they are found, this expensive research must be continued.
That's right, folks. In order to pay for this work and care for the victims of this awful disease, every one of us has got to give more than ever to this year's March of Dimes.
Well, Rexall for tonight, and we'll be back with you next week.
The Jimmy Durante Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 28, 1948 on NBC. Durante had returned from a month-long illness which happened just about after Christmas in 1947, and in the following weeks, rather than another program take its place, NBC had guest hosts from their network like Bob Hope, Frank Morgan, Al Jolson, and Red Skelton. It's an hour of comedy. On Tuned to Yesterday, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a broadcast of the Red Skelton Show from his heyday on radio and television. This from October 24th, 1951 on NBC.
When Paul Revere sped through the town with that historic ride, he spread the news to all around, and this is what he cried. You won't know what you're missing if you don't see Nord.
Transcribed from Hollywood, Nord, a division of BorgWarner, manufacturers of America's most modern automatic and conventional washers, gas and electric ranges and water heaters, originators and world's largest manufacturers of self-defrosting refrigerators, Norge presents the Red Skelton Show. Skelton, David Rose, and his orchestra, Loreen Tuttle, Pat McGeehan, and the Smith Twins will be me, Rod O'Connor. And now, the star of our program, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hiya, Rod.
Hiya, Red. Well, here we are again.
Yeah, huh? I guess the sponsors didn't hear the shows last week.
You know, I didn't think last week's show was so bad. You got a few laughs.
Yeah, few is right. I heard more laughs on Frost Warning.
Say, I want to thank you again for taking me to that Hollywood sneak preview.
Well, I had to take you. You're the only sneak I know. I got... I get my hands on the guy that put that in there.
Well, you know, it was sure fun rubbing elbows with the movie stars.
Elbows? You mean popcorn bags. Hey, how about that guy sitting next to me bawling me out for eating popcorn while the picture was on?
What'd he say?
He said, "Stop eating my popcorn."
You mean you were eating another guy's popcorn?
Yeah, I wanted
Why?
Him to finish it so I could pop the bag.
Oh, well, you know, I sure enjoyed that picture.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the best thing you ever did.
I wasn't in it.
That's what I mean. It was the best thing you ever did.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Uh-huh.
What I just said?
No. I can just see you standing in that unemployment line tomorrow.
Hey, and we had fun at the Macombo afterwards, too, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, but it was a good picture that I was in, that Texas Carnival. That's really something, boy. Mm-hmm. When the picture was over, the producer ran up to me and he says, "Well, Skelton, you've done it again. This time we're going to sue."
Well,
yeah, we had
Macombo,
fun. Where
yeah.
did we go?
Macombo.
Oh, we did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The Macombo. You mean Fort Knox with waiters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there were sure were a lot of autograph seekers, too, in front of the club when we went
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I was rather embarrassed. A fine time for my battery and the light took my shirt front to go dead. Say, I wonder why all the people were asking for my autograph.
Well, they probably want to see if you can really spell your name.
Yeah.
Proud of that.
Yeah, we're going to miss you around here, boy.
Well, I guess I showed them all, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, which reminds me, I got to get another rubber stamp made. That old one's nearly worn out.
We really spent a lot of money at the Macombo, but after all, you only live once.
Yes, but the way taxes are now, to live once, you have to live twice. There's a brilliant line in it. You can't blame it on a writer, either. Hey, I thought it up on my own little stupid spur of the moment.
You know, I really enjoyed myself. I drank 8 Cokes.
Yeah, Jim Farley will love you.
He drinks nothing but Coca-Colas, this guy. He never passes out. He just has those long pauses that refresh.
What did you drink the other night?
Oh, I had a fancy drink. It's something I learned about in Paris last summer.
What was that?
Yummy yogurt. And had a call with soda. I had a call this morning, but I didn't answer.
You know, jokes like that make you feel like a total stranger.
Say, did you notice what an impression I made with the head waiter?
Oh, yes.
I just snapped my fingers and he gave us a ringside table.
Yeah, ringside at the Hollywood Stadium.
What do you mean? We were sitting right next to the orchestra.
Yeah, we were so close to the orchestra that when I started to eat, the leader pointed his baton at me, and I had to do a solo of My Blue Heaven on a hamburger. That girl you brought along, boy, there, that girl has no manners at all.
What was the matter with her?
She ate her soup and 4 people got up and started to dance. One guy next to me, he says, "Run for your life, the boiler busts."
Oh, it's too bad our wives missed it. They were in the powder room.
Yeah. Every time I hear them say they're going to the powder room, I get nervous. I think they're going to blow up the joint.
I want to thank you for picking up the check.
Oh, yeah. It was a mistake. I thought it was a napkin.
Oh.
Well, you know what this guy does when the check comes? This is the truth. He says, "Oh, come on, will you? Will you?" And he gets real loud, and everybody starts looking. He says, "Let me have it. Will you let me have the check?" He stands there and adds it up for a couple minutes, hands it back, and says, "That's right."
Well, I still want to thank you for picking up the check.
Oh, yes. Quite a bill, you say.
Oh, I do. Where?
Down the bottom. Just pick up anything and read it. It don't make any difference.
Oh, I see.
Nothing makes sense anyhow.
Just the same, thanks for paying for it. It was quite a bill. $52. I can't even see.
You can't even read, you mean. $55 the bill was. Not
no,
52.
52.
No.
Well, don't you remember just before you paid it, you asked me to loan you $51.75?
That's right. I didn't have quite enough to cover the bill.
And by the way, Red, when are you going to pay me that money I loaned you?
I don't know. Let's turn another page and find out.
From the Skelton Scrapbook of Satire, we present a story entitled How to Make Enemies. Chapter 1 is about a case of mistaken identity, and it stars Clem Cadiddlehopper.
The last time I saw Barbara, I was sick as a dog. Well, I'm all registered for the draft again, and they don't know how to classify me either. Dead or alive. They said they were going to defer me because I'm a farmer. Of course, my corn crop wasn't too good this year. The ears are so bad they're wearing hearing aids. Oh, well, I can always stop in at Daisy June's house for a bite to eat if I run short of money. I wonder what she's having for supper tonight. I hope it ain't hash. She's so impulsive, you know. Well, here comes that same car again. Now, that guy's been following me for an hour now. I hope I ain't in any trouble. Somebody told me that the dog catcher had a warrant out for me.
Well, if it ain't Lieutenant Muscle.
Who?
Muscle, do you remember me?
I don't even remember me.
Stop playing dumb.
I ain't playing. I'm sincere.
Look, Lieutenant Muscle, you remember the way you pushed SGIs around?
Oh, you
well, you ain't got those bars on your shoulder now, but...
Here, let go of my Adam's apple. It ain't quite ripe enough to pick yet. Let go. You got the wrong man.
Look, I told you overseas that if I ever met you when you get out of the Army, I was going to punch you right in the nose.
Who's going to punch who in the nose?
I'm going to punch you.
You try it once and you'll be surprised. You see? It was easier than you thought.
Lieutenant, get up, you.
Now let me
hey,
alone.
Wait. Stop just it, a you. Minute. Stand over here in the light.
You're doing all right with me standing in the dark.
Oh, look, I'm awful sorry, fella, but yeah. From a distance, you look just like Lieutenant Muscle.
Yeah?
Tell me, did I hurt you?
Oh, no. I tied this knot in my spine to remember something.
I'm awfully sorry that I punched you without thinking.
Well, I'm not. If you'd have thought about it, you'd have done a better job.
Well, look, please accept my apologies for mistaking you for Lieutenant Muscle, will you?
You mean to tell me that there's another guy in this world that looks like me?
You look enough alike to be twins.
Good heavens, what a gruesome thought.
No hard feelings, eh, buddy?
I got no feelings at all.
Can I drop you off somewhere?
No, I'll drop me off somewhere. Just knock me down. Now you want to... This is my girl's house here. I got to hurry. I'll be late for supper. Boy, what an experience that was, being mistaken for somebody like that. Oh, well.
Howdy, Clay.
Well, baby.
Is bleeding. What happened?
Well, I ran into an old friend of mine. Of course, he had his fist out at the time.
Well, won't you come in?
Well, don't care if I do.
Well, wait till I open the screen door.
Oh, you always were a stickler for details. I'm sorry, I didn't notice the screen. I thought those specks in front of my eyes had turned to squares.
You're just in time to help me with supper dishes.
Dishes? You mean you have already eaten? Why, this is a cat after me. This is a catastrophe. You have eaten.
Didn't you eat, Clem?
Are you accusing me of doing something behind your back?
Clem. Are you hungry?
No, I'm not too hungry.
Your stomach's growling.
Well, it wasn't thunder, I'll tell you that.
Look, if you help me with the dishes, I'll fix you a bite to eat.
Well, now that's mighty neighborly of you.
I'll wash and you dry.
Why should I dry? I'm not even wet. Oh, chicken inspector.
Clem.
I'm hotter than a Harry Roy Rogers pistol tonight.
Why must you act like an imbecile?
Because I refuse to put on airs, that's why.
Here, take this towel to dry the dishes with.
All right, I'm good at drying dishes. Watch me dry three of them at a time. Just shuffle them around
now,
there.
Stop showing off. You can't dry three dishes at a time. You're liable to break one.
Look, I've been drying dishes all my life, and I've never broken one. Until now.
Oh, Clem, I bought those dishes to have when I got married.
Oh?
It was a service for six.
Come again?
It was a service for six.
You're marrying somebody with kids?
Now, you just clean up that mess.
Oh?
Don't stand there. Go get the broom from
all
the back
right,
porch.
All right. I could just bend over and sweep it up with my eyebrows. Well, let's see. Where could that broom be? Let's see. Somebody prowling around out here. Hey, you. What are you doing? Who are you? Who are you? Look, are you going to tell me who you are, or am I going to have to run from the light?
Hey, could you tell me where 521 Keys Avenue is?
Lieutenant Muscle, I've been looking for you.
Now, wait a minute now. Remember, it's me. It's me again.
How could I ever forget you?
Look, let go of my ear, will you? Now look what you've done to my ear. I look like a lopsided bloodhound now.
This is for being so nasty to the boys in our outfit.
Here, look. Look, old man. I'm Clem Cadiddlehopper. Look, you beat me up just a little while ago, remember? You mistook me for that Lieutenant Muscle.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yet I never can remember faces.
Well, no wonder you keep going around changing them.
Look, I'm awful sorry, Clem, but, well, you do look so much like Lieutenant Muscle. You see, I think of how he treated our outfit.
Yeah?
Well, I just got carried away.
You're going to carry me away if you keep this job.
Yeah, well, look, I can't keep beating you up like this. Here, wear my Dewey button.
Dewey button?
Yeah.
Oh,
now, see, now I'll know you the next time I see you.
Well, thanks. That's very neighborly of you. You said you were looking for 521 Keys Avenue?
That's right, yeah.
This is the place. This is the house, but you better go around to the front door. Because if you knock at this back door, they shoot, and then they ask questions. Of course, they don't get many answers, but they ask them. See that sign over there? Anybody found around here at night will be found around here in the morning.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. I'll go around to the front door.
Okay.
Let's
get this broom in. Yeah?
Who's keeping you?
Who's he talking to a man outside?
Well, what was he doing at the back door? Who was he?
That's him now. I told him to go around the front door and I'll let him in. Howdy there.
Oh, pardon me. Could you tell me? Lieutenant Muscle, I told you I'd look you up.
Here now.
Here. Get up, you rat. Get up.
Look, you eager beaver. It's me, Clem Cadiddlehopper. Look, I'm wearing the Dewey button.
I'm sorry. Politics ain't going to help you. All right. Now, take that.
Look, you're asking for it, boy.
For what?
Manslaughter charges. Good thing I don't lose my temper easily.
Here, you big bully. What are you trying to do? Knock Clem, silly?
If you are, you're wasting your time.
Get up on your feet, Lieutenant Muscle.
I ain't Lieutenant Muscle.
He ain't Lieutenant Muscle.
He ain't Lieutenant Muscle.
Muscle died over a year ago.
Muscle's dead? That explains the resemblance, then.
You say Lieutenant Muscle's dead?
Yes.
Gee, I'm sure sorry to hear that.
Yeah, old Muscle.
He was the nicest guy I ever knew. You know, with him gone, life won't be worth living.
It's going to help me out, though.
Poor Lieutenant Muscle. Well, see you around.
Yeah.
My poor, poor clam.
No.
I'll fix you something to eat.
Oh, never mind. How could I chew it with my teeth scattered all over the rug? I'm going home.
You're going home?
Yeah. I'm going to stop by the undertaker's and get an appraisal, though. What kind of an offer can I get? Well, I'll see you later.
Well, aren't you going to cast me?
Look, I've taken enough punishment in one day. No.
And now David Rose and his orchestra will play Don't Fence Me In. And now for our weekly homemaker hint from Jane Masters, co-director of the Norge Home Economics Department.
Hello there. You know what a nuisance it is to have to fix individual salads or a salad bowl at the last minute, especially when you're busy with company. Well, here's a trick. In several of the new Norge refrigerator models, the crisper is full width. So just fix your salad with everything except the salad dressing in the morning. Then store the individual plates or the whole salad bowl right in the crisper. The salad will be as fresh and crisp as if you just fixed it.
You get that big crisper with a new Norge Jet Self Defroster, and it's a peach. It glides out on runners light as a feather. Our third chapter on how to make enemies is about the nuisances you meet on a bus. The nuisance in this case happens to be Junior, the mean little kid.
Comes our bus.
Oh, we don't do them poor people know what's in store for them.
Now, I expect you to behave yourself.
Oh, you dreamer, you.
All right, folks, all aboard. Watch your step.
Ah, shut up.
Junior. Here, let me help you on the bus.
Oh, here. Stop picking me up on my ears. I look enough like a wabbit as it is.
Junior, go sit down while I pay the bus fare.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, say, you can't sit on my lap, son. You'll block my view, and I might drive this bus into a tree. And you wouldn't want that to happen, would you?
Looks like I got a live one tonight, don't you?
Junior, get off the driver's lap.
No, I want to watch this bird drive. He looked a little careless to me.
Well, here's your fare, driver.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, what was that bell you just ring? Why did you do that?
Oh, it's just a meter to tell the bus company how many people rode the bus today.
Oh, well, then you better ring it again.
Why?
Because I is here. Two of us got on this sardine can with wheels. And you only ring it up once, so... There, now it's right.
What did you do that for?
Junior, would you let things alone?
Well, he's inferring that I is nothing. He has to tell him how many people rode the bus. So all I did was like that.
No, that'll be 20 cents more, my dear lady.
Well, don't get so snippy.
No, don't get so snippy.
Here's your own 20 cents.
Yeah.
Thank you, lady. Thank you.
Well, think nothing of it.
Why are you staring at me, son?
You trying to steal that money?
What do you mean?
She just gave you 20 cents. Let's hear the bell ring. Let's hear it ring. Like this.
No! Lady, if I had a child like that, I'd give him poison.
If I had a pop like you, I'd take it.
What are you fretting about now?
Yes.
Your boy just pulled the chain and rang up two more fares. Do you realize that now I'm short?
Well, if I hadn't rang the bell, you'd be long. Nuts. The whole world's nuts.
Look, lady, I can lose my job for that.
Don't get sarcastic with me.
Don't get sarcastic with her. No, you better be careful, boy. She wrestles on television every Monday night.
All right. Now, get out.
I will not.
I'm warning you, mister. You are now talking to the hooded terror. Watch out if she don't slap the stranglehold on you. Heel, mummy, heel.
Junior, will you shut up?
Yeah, don't... Hey, don't swing. I'm on your side, kiddo.
You have my heartfelt condolences. Yeah. Driver, the other passengers would like to move on. Do let's get the lead out of that gasoline.
You know that I'm not budging a spark plug until they get off this bus.
Look, yes. I'll pay you 20 cents. Will you get rolling?
Yes. I don't care where it comes from, just so I don't have to pay it out of my own pocket.
Very well. Here you are.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Gristle Hip.
Well, shall we try it again?
Yes. Oh, by the way, driver, don't forget to ring up the fares.
Oh, all right. Oh, no, no! What you made me do.
Look, kiddo, this time you paid because you rang it that time, boy.
Yes, I rang it up. I rang it up and now I have to pay. Your little joke cost me 20 cents. 20 cents.
Why are you stopping our on this bridge.
No reason at all, no reason at all. I just want to hear bells ring. Bells, 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 that's what I want to hear.
I think he blew his cork.
Oh, well, we all have to go sooner or later.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, until next week...
This is Red Skelton saying thanks for listening and reminding you that you won't know what you're missing if you don't see Norge.
And this is Rod O'Connor saying, remember, in refrigerators, home freezers, gas and electric ranges, washers and water heaters, everything Norge makes right. Join us again next week for the Red Skelton Show. Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. This is a copyrighted feature transcribed from Hollywood.
The Red Skelton Show from October 24th, 1951 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.